Welcome to this week's episode of Time Added On. Premier League football is back and Forest were underway with a defeat at the Emirates. But that doesn't tell half the story, does it, Tom? Tom, you good? You were obviously at the Emirates yesterday. Well, weird afternoon. Half an hour delay. Managed to sneak another beer in before kickoff.
Yeah, I didn't have a clue what was happening. Not a scoop of what was happening.
I had a mad panic trying to get. I obviously wasn't at the Emirates yesterday, so I was trying to get the kids sorted so I could sit down in front of the telly at 12:30. I needed not worry. I had another half an hour to kill.
So, I didn't have a clue. We were still downstairs. I didn't have any internet on my phone. No signal. Weren't getting any messages. All of a sudden, everyone's piling back downstairs. I was like, oh, good game.
Get to the bar. Yeah. But it's been a weird one, hasn't it? It was the same at Brentford today. Their kickoff was delayed because they didn't have any running water. I mean, my days, if they did that at the City Ground, we'd never play. There's never any water in the Trent End. So.
Yeah, and then there was like, oh, it was a minimum, like it would at least be 30 minutes delayed. So I was like, oh, whoa, we'll have a bloody sesh down here if it's delayed any further.
I'm not going to lie to you, I was slightly worried. I had somewhere to be for beers at 3:30. And I was thinking, I do not need this being delayed any further. I got to be late for my... For my after game beers. But yeah, it was a funny old start to the season from that sense, wasn't it? But I mean, what a shambles from an Arsenal point of view in terms of the ticket system failing.
Let's not judge too quickly yet. I mean, Forest have released new season cards for everyone.
Yeah, that's true. So football is back. It's nice to have it back, isn't it? Plenty to talk about. Really good opening weekend, to be fair, across the Premier League. Some interesting results. I mean, who would have thought Villa would have got pumped 5-1 away at Newcastle? Luton did get pumped 4-1 away at Brighton. You probably would have thought that. Sheffield United has obviously lost at home to Palace. And look, from a Forest perspective, I think we came into the weekend and we obviously, from our score predictions last week, weren't expecting too much, but definitely some positives to take out of it. So we're going to spend a bit of time. We'll talk about the Arsenal game yesterday. We'll look ahead to Sheffield United and we'll talk about the transfer window because, as always, a week since we recorded our last episode, a lot to get through. It looks like a Brazilian magician is on the way out, Tom. You're going to have to get rid of your Rubik's Cube, but we'll talk about that in a minute.
What some money that was, and I'm not talking about the transfer. I'm talking about the Rubik's Cube.
Oh, man. Well, we had a good, strange journey at Leicester at home with that, didn't we?
I've still not bloody completed it.
I don't think that's Scarpa's fault, to be honest. But let's park that one till we get to it. Let's talk about Arsenal yesterday then. As I've said, we were expecting quite the difficult afternoon, probably... Without doubt, no probably about it, one of the hardest fixtures you could have been served up on opening day. But, I mean, overall, Tom, what was your impressions of the game, impressions of the result? I thought Forest did really, really well at times. There's obviously things that they will know that they need to do better, and Steve Cooper alluded to that. But in the main, I feel like most people have come away from that one yesterday really buoyed by the overall performance. And look, I know we're Forest fans, we don't want Forest to lose. But I think the result and the scoreline probably gives you confidence, doesn't it? It gives you a little bit of hope now going into the full season.
Yeah, exactly. I think the overriding feeling is one of improvement. They made a fist of the game. Probably at a time when I would have expected Forest of last year to just roll over. So there's positives to take in terms of that. I mean, I'm personally, people can gloss over them. I'm personally disappointed with the two goals that we conceded. You're always going to be, obviously. But I think just another example of this league and how harsh it can be in terms of the mistakes that were made leading up to those two goals, albeit one was a brilliant strike at the end of it. Probably shouldn't have got to that point. But overall, the plan was working. I think Forest approached it in a similar way to how they approached the home game, if I'm honest. Yeah. Right, all the way back in May. It was kind of similar to that, just kind of putting that low blocking, as everyone calls it now. Absolutely sick to death of hearing that.
I'm actually writing that in my notes. So I was going to come on for the low block in a minute.
But... Yeah, everyone goes for the old terminology now, don't they? That low block that they had, and then trying to hit Arsenal fast on the break. And I think, you know, if you look at the two halves, you know, Arsenal didn't obviously have most of the ball, and that was always going to happen. I think Forest had the best opportunity, and you know, that's a shame in many ways. But you know, and probably just more of an example of the fact that Brennan's still coming back from an injury and he's not had much of a pre-season, so he's probably rusty anyway. But then in the second half, especially when the changes were made, Forest looked a threat. So
yeah,
I think overall, the one positive is that they didn't roll over like they would have last year. I think when we were 2-0 down, I was going, I reckon they could get to 4 or 5 in the second half. But that's me thinking of last year, and hopefully that's a sign of improvement onto this year from a mental perspective.
I think we all did, mate. I think when it went to 2 and what we were 30 minutes in, you were fearing the worst then. I think the overall performance, my take from it, was that it was really night and day in terms of the performance there last year. And I know the result and actually the pattern of the game was pretty similar. In terms of, I think Forest were only 1-0 down at half time last year at the Emirates and ultimately lost 5-0. But I think the way that they stood up, the way they pressed, the way that they played in general, they offered more of a threat throughout for me, even though they didn't have a lot of the ball. It was that template that Forest built in, you know, the latter stages of last season when they went to Chelsea and they went to Liverpool and they beat Arsenal at home. And I think, you know, we talked about pre-season last week, but what Forest have been building up on over the last few weeks in pre-season is, again, when they start to work on shape and they got that team on the pitch that they were ultimately was, you know, pretty much like for like yesterday, they were working on that low block, if you like, in terms of that's the way that Forest are going to play. And Forest have got some difficult away fixtures coming up as well. And I don't really expect that pattern to change. I think they're well scored on that. And I think you saw yesterday in terms of what Steve Cooper wants from that starting 11. But we'll come on to talk about the Sheffield United game. It's going to be different, though, how they set up when they're expected to be a little bit more front-footed and take their game to other teams, isn't it? Because there was definitely, I suppose, what's for me the overall performance yesterday was pleasing. There are aspects that they'll need to improve on and be better when they play Sheffield United on Friday night. I mean, we've mentioned that, you know, your tongue-in-cheek there talks about low block and Forest tactics, the way they set up. It's interesting on some of the feedback we got back. You know, we asked people, obviously, yesterday for their kind of three-word reviews, and a few of the ones that we got back were very much around wanting to see Forest be more positive from the off. I think, and it's easy to say that, I suppose, when you find yourself 2 goals behind and then you're chasing the game and hoping to get back into it. But I mean, for me, I think Forest got it spot on yesterday. I think the tactics and the way that Forest approached that game, whilst obviously we'd want Forest to be a little bit more front footed, you've got to be a bit realistic. When you go to the Emirates to play Arsenal, you ain't going to be on the front foot. You ain't going to have a lot of the ball. You're going to have to suffer, right? And I think Steve Cooper got it absolutely spot on. And I think the changes, when he made the changes, were really effective and ultimately did get Forest back into it with a goal. But I think we'd be naive, wouldn't we, as fans? And I think to expect Steve Cooper to be attacking from the off against quite a buoyant Arsenal team. That was a really good Arsenal team yesterday. I was quite... Maybe they were a bit below par in that second half yesterday, but you can see quite a few teams going there this season and getting absolutely hammered.
Yeah, they're confident. I think, yeah, the consideration has to be the opposition at hand. That the plan was always going to be what we saw. I think, you know, twisting it further, I saw quite a few people when Burnley were playing Man City on the Friday night saying, oh, I wish Forest would play a bit more like Burnley. But I think Forest did, when they first got up last year, try to be similar and ambitious in our attacking ways at the start of last season, which ultimately was why we lost a lot.
Just on that point, because I hear you. That game for me on Friday night reminded me a little bit of Forest Spurs last year, in terms of the way that we approach games. You're right, absolutely right. We were very much kind of confident, buoyant side. And yeah, all right, it might be pleasing on the eye for 20 minutes, but ultimately it doesn't get you anywhere. And that's that. I thought Burnley had a really disappointing... Yeah, they ran about a fair bit, but I thought Burnley were really disappointed on Friday. And I think you've got to be more streetwise. And that's what I would put down after Forest's performance yesterday was streetwise to a point.
Yeah, and I think there were some individuals that you could tell had had a season of Premier League football under their belt. You know, even I still think this. I don't think Forest can go the full season with certain players that were in that squad. But like McKenna and Worrell, for me, I thought Worrell in particular had a strong game. And McKenna, you wouldn't have thought that actually he didn't make the team for a lot of that second half of the season last season. He played a good part as well. I still stick by the fact that Forest do need players, and you know, you touched on there in terms of there are positives from the game, but I think the negatives we take are probably the things that we knew already, right? And that unfortunately, as much as certain players, you know, can and need to improve on certain aspects of their game, will probably have to come from the recruitment, which we're all still waiting for. You know, we spoke about having a bit more of an agile and pacey, mobile, you know, centre back and defence, which I still think is something, albeit, you know, they were quite well drilled yesterday. I felt that was a part of the game that could have done better. And then another part, which I know you agree with, is, you know, keeping possession. And when it gets into central midfield, being able to just give your team a breather, and that's everyone. You know, if you can have a midfield where they're doing some of the defensive work in front of you a little bit better, or when they have the ball, they're being a bit smarter with it, that means your defence can have maybe a little bit of a breather, or you know, the smarter runs can be made in front as well to create more opportunities. So, you know, that's not me just pointing the finger at the central midfielders. And then I think there were certain individuals as well within the game that maybe just had a bit of an off day, and that'll be down to fitness. Some of the pre-seasons that some of the players had, I thought Aurier struggled in that first half. I thought Danilo had, and you know I'm a big fan of Danilo's, but I thought he had what he would probably even say was a disappointing game. Albeit, you know, it's two, just chalk and cheese, probably in terms of the quality of the two teams on that pitch. One being obviously one that was fighting for the title last year and one that was fighting relegation. I just think, yeah, there was certain aspects of the game that need to improve, and those things aren't much of a shock to anyone, I don't think, either.
No. I just want to touch on something you said there in terms of obviously giving the ball away and losing possession. I think that was probably one of the things that stood out for me most yesterday. If you talk about what Wolf Forest have learned, albeit against a very good Arsenal side, it's they just need to hold on to the ball. And you're right, because we talked about it last week, that is no shock. And Forest have been after a number six all summer, and we've just under 3 weeks of the window left. They will need to go out and buy a number six who can help them just keep hold of the ball and calm things down, because far too often yesterday they were turning the ball over in very dangerous positions as well. And ultimately, you know, doing that led to two of the goals, right? And I think sometimes it was hard for the centre midfield would win the ball back, but ultimately then turn it over straight away. And then it was hard for those front players in terms of Gibbs, White and Johnson, because when they were getting scraps, they were trying to do things that were just, you know, I suppose they were just trying to do something that could maybe get them further up the pitch. And I think a couple of times, Morgan Gibbs, White, and I think this was guilty for the second goal, if I'm right from memory, you know, just trying to do a flick round the corner and then ultimately gives possession to Arsenal. And before you know it, it ends up in the back of your net. And I think that's frustration, right? But they got to learn that. It's really hard. You've got to appreciate that for Gibbs, White and Johnson, that is an awful afternoon in it, because they are not going to be, they can't show what they are capable of when you're defending for that amount of time. But that's when they've got to do a team role. And they're both brilliant at that. But a couple of times yesterday in really silly positions, Forest turned the ball over by trying to do flicks around the corner, and they weren't smart in that, were they? And I think that would be one of my only criticisms of the performance yesterday. We just turned possession over too much. And let's be honest, Arsenal did swamp that midfield. They were very good, Arsenal. They were quick. They were pressing us as hard as we were sometimes pressing them. And I think we were crowded out in midfield. But I think it really emphasised yesterday how much we need a really good ball player in that middle of the park.
Yeah, I mean, that's why I was disappointed in the two goals. I think, you know, the first one is slightly frustrating because the ball's given away, and then Martinelli does, I think, just gets past Aurier.
He gets lucky, doesn't he? I mean, it's a nice bit of skill. It is a nice bit of skill. But he also has a bit of luck there. And the strike itself obviously takes a wicked
thing. The communication between the two players, because I think, you know, I don't know whether Danilo kind of backs off a little bit because he thinks Aurier's got it and Aurier doesn't have it. And your second one frustrates me because of how Morgan Gibbs-White gave the ball away, it should have just been. I mean, hindsight's an amazing thing, and I said in the pod last week, I said I want them to have more confidence and stuff like that, and they'll be trying to kind of not just throw the ball away so easily, and therefore he probably thinks he's doing a good thing. In hindsight, it's an amazing thing, right? On another day, you might have pulled that off, in which case we're not talking about it at all. But obviously, the strike afterwards is a brilliant yeah. strike. But
yeah, you've got to caveat that one. I mean, I must admit, I saw a couple of people mention on Twitter as well today that people have been suggesting that Turner could have done more with that. But no. I think you might have needed two, Matt, to save that one.
I personally think if Turner's name was Henderson, he'd be getting a lot more praise for his performance yesterday.
I thought it was brilliant. We'll come on to that. We'll park a pin in that one for two seconds. But the goal, though, I mean, it was an amazing strike, wasn't it? It was an amazing strike.
And even the first one, it's unlucky, really, because, well, apart from me complaining then about the Martinelli and how it should have been better defended, because then the strike from Nketiah, like Worrell is going in to block it. And on any other day, we know how good that is. One part of his game I think he does brilliantly is he's very good at blocking, getting, you know, stretching for things, last minute blocks, whatever. And he does almost block it. It kind of goes underneath and bounces underneath him, and therefore then bounces underneath Turner, which. There's just not a lot you can do about that, unfortunately. That is just, yeah, it
sums up the Premier League, isn't it? It sums up the Premier League. You make two, because I thought their concentration levels throughout the whole 90 minute from the Forest point of view were brilliant, but you make two errors, if you like, and before you know it, you're 2-0 down.
It's two errors for the goals and missing a golden opportunity, like in that first half, that kind of killed Forest. But you know, as we said, the second half was far better, especially when the subs were made. I mean, the pace of the two, you know, in particular, Elanga and the one year you came on was electric.
It was. I mean, the Johnson chance you touched on there, it was because Forest were, you know, Arsenal had a lot of the possession, but they don't really create anything. I mean, Matt Turner didn't have to make a save in that opening kind of 20 minutes. Forrest then obviously get that golden opportunity from an enforced error from an Arsenal point of view. I mean, you when Johnson's going through one-on-one, I don't know about you, but I'm just waiting for the ball to hit the back of the net. I was just expecting him to scoop it over the goalkeeper. Job done. I mean, what a start that would have been for Forrest, and it would have given him even more confidence to follow that game plan. But he... I mean, he got it all. I mean, it's massively.
You're going to give
rusty.
Him some.
He's rusty.
He's been injured, and mate, rightly or wrongly, I was just thinking at the time, oh, that's 5 million off the price tag.
I was thinking Tottenham. You don't want him. Don't worry about it, Tottenham. You don't want him. I thought he was shooting for White Hart Lane, to be honest.
I mean, it wasn't a good finish at all. I can't help him on that one. But
it looked close.
I think it's a player who's rusty, and I think also, I think, you know, the fact he did show his pace and he got onto it. I think it's brilliant. Actually, no one's really talking about Bolly wins like the header for the second ball, like 50-50 to kind of get onto it, which leads to Johnson getting away.
Yeah,
what a header that was. So. Yeah, I mean, it's annoying because it's a golden opportunity, kind of out of nowhere as well. I'm not saying that Forest weren't good in the first half, but you know, it's just a chance that's come from nothing. But yeah, frustrating.
Yeah, it was. You're right to mention Bolly, because obviously you touched on McKenna and Warren a minute ago. I thought Bolly was outstanding yesterday. I really did. I thought he kind of led the line really well at the back, and obviously had that chance late on as well, which Steve Cooper was moaning about VAR for, which I think might have been. Yeah, I see his point a little bit there, but I don't think you get them given.
No,
might have been down
really.
The other end potentially. But yeah, brilliant header. I think you're right with Johnson. He's not had a lot of pre-season. An informed Johnson, I don't think, goes to chip that. I think he takes it round the keeper and rolls it into an empty net. I think if he'd have taken it down and gone left.
He tried to chip it, Chris. I don't really think he
I don't know what he did. But I think if you bring it down and take it left, the worst you're going to get is a penalty, isn't it? Let's be honest. Yeah. Because I think you're going to get wiped out. So, look, another day, Johnson probably brings that down. But it's unfortunate. I text you at half-time. I know you didn't text me back. I won't say anything. But
I had no signal. No signal. I was still down in the turnstile. I was thinking the kick-off was delayed. I didn't watch any football.
You were half-time. The text at half time to no reply. But I said to you, I just I didn't really know what to think of that first half, because I was really pleased about the way that Forest had controlled Arsenal, but then they'd gone in 2-0 down. It was a really bizarre first half. And I think to go, but not to labour the point we touched on, but when it did go to 2-0 after 30, 35 minutes, I was really fearing a 4 or 5 niller at that point. You could just see the, yeah, I thought they mentioned on commentary on old TNT, which is a rip-off, by the way, £30 a month. But they mentioned on TNT that it was really important last 5-10 minutes for Forest just to stay in the game, because obviously if they'd have conceded another one just before half time, then we really would have been, you know, fearing the worst second half. But I thought Forest went about their business. Coming into the second half, it was pretty much same old, wasn't it? Arsenal had a lot of the ball, but I think Forest started to grow into it in the second half and started to show a little bit of what they could do. In the first half, I mean, if you remember, obviously Gibbs-White did have the one down the left-hand side where he managed to flick it round the corner and go. I thought Forest had little pockets like that throughout the game. I don't think, obviously, they weren't creating chance after chance after chance, but you could certainly see the game plan in terms of staying solid and then using that pace to hit on the counter. I thought throughout the first and the second half, Forest were probably only one or two passes away from getting away if they could get that incisive pass, foot on the ball, if you like. But they showed it, didn't they? And I thought when we did, we caused them problems and we started to kind of pin them back. And I think, you know, we showed glimpses of what we could do, but the goal really, it shows what Forest are all about this season, I think, under Steve Cooper. I thought the subs, when he brought them on, made a real impact, as I said at the start. I think, but I mean, I've watched that goal back today. I've watched the Forest goal back 3 or 4 times. I mean, we must say Arsenal, it was a great save from Matt Turner to tip the Rice effort onto the post. I think that was a really outstanding save through bodies, and he tips it on. But for Forest to clear the corner, and then I think it's something like 12, 13 seconds later, put the ball in the back of the net. Obviously, everyone was raving about Alanga's pace in the Leeds game. I didn't really realise how quick he was, but I thought a 1-2 was superb to kind of break away anyway to start with. But Alanga picks that ball up midway through our own half and carries it the whole length of the pitch. And then a one-year's run at the last minute just to check inside to go near post. That goal for me is, I don't think you'll see a bold statement on week one, but you'll struggle to see a better breakaway goal all season than that, I reckon.
Yeah, I mean, Alanga won't beat me over 20 metres.
He won't break his legs.
But no, I mean, it was brilliant. I mean, we're talking about Alanga's pace. I mean, 1 year starts it all up. And when I watched the goal, actually, I think you really underestimate how quick Taiwo is, because he starts it all off by feeding it into Alanga, and then he has to keep up with him the whole way.
He was quicker than I.
No, I'm sure Alanga is quicker than Taiwo without the ball at his feet. But I mean, Awoniyi's like a machine going through the middle. And I know it's only one goal, you can't get too carried away. But I actually think Taiwo, albeit people do rate him, and obviously he was Forest top scorer last year, like, I think he's criminally underrated in some respects.
Yeah. Well, I don't want to actually only think he's too getting, much, Tom.
I think he's only getting better. He's only getting better. And I think actually the problem we had, I can remember early doors last season, people going, I don't think Cooper likes him, don't think he fits into the system. You know, like Keenan Davies would do this, Keenan Davies would do that. But actually,
Keenan Davies would have pulled his hamstring on the halfway line. I love Keenan, don't get me wrong. Yeah, I love Keenan. Well, that was harsh, to be fair.
But like, I just think he's just getting better. Like, he's fitting into the system. He knows what Steve Cooper wants from him. If he didn't get injured last year, he would have had more goals than what he got. And I think he could have a fantastic season, like a really, really good season. So
I loved a lot about what I saw yesterday. What I did like, and we mentioned it last week, is he's just, yeah, only having those 3 signings come in so far. Yes, we would have wanted more, blah, blah, blah. But only having the 3 come in, we had quite a settled squad to pick from, therefore, and you knew what they were going to do. I don't think there was any, no one was under any doubt of what Forest were going to do yesterday. And I think, yeah, we followed that game plan really well. They carried it out. And I reckon if that game goes on for another 5-10 minutes, you know, Forest might nick another goal, and then you've got yourself a different.
Well, the crowd, you know, the wave, you know, of momentum was definitely with Forest in that moment. I mean, once they went to a back four and changed the team, there was times where I was like, oh, here we go. Like Arsenal were then just using their pace, running at Forest.
Yeah,
and
they were.
But that's always going to happen when you are trying to take the game to someone and chasing it. But the wave of momentum, you know, I spoke to a couple of Arsenal fans afterwards. Some of them, you know, after a few sherbets and stuff. So, you know, their opinion might be slightly swayed.
Interesting bunch of Arsenal fans.
Well, they thought we looked good and. Especially at the end of the game, and that's good to hear because there were so many times last season, especially early doors, albeit we were maybe on a bit of a different level because we were on cloud nine because we were in the Premier League and just enjoying that. You know, their opinions were a bit like, "Oh, you don't look good."
I remember walking away from Spurs last year, and their fans would say they can't believe how bad we were, like one of the worst guys to go to their gaff, whereas it was nice. I mean, look, the biggest compliment that Forest had yesterday is that they were rattled and their fans were rattled and Arteta was rattled. And the fact that they brought in an extra defender just to shore things up, that was a huge confidence boost. I genuinely think if that game goes on another 5 minutes, Forest get one. I thought what was good as well is that you know, the subs that we've talked about, but, you know, he gets some stick, but Chris Wood coming on, Koyate coming on. Forrest had the ability to go direct. There were some big lads there. And Ali McCoys, who, by the way, is he's superb, isn't he, Ali McCoys? Mm. But he was brilliant. I know you were at the game, but to listen to him yesterday commentate, you know, very complimentary about Forrest, but some of those dark arts in terms of, you know, using Aina's long throw and pumping corners into the box and getting long balls into the box. Like, if you've got height and you've got the strength, use it. Why wouldn't Forrest use it? And I thought when he made those subs and he brought Koyate on and he brought Wood on and he went to a back four, and you know that then Forrest are going to start. And they had that free kick right at the end, and I thought, oh, if we one of these drops, you can just see Forrest getting into it. But actually, they weren't being bullied, were they? They weren't being bullied yesterday.
And I actually think, you know, I said this to someone before the match, that I actually think that's the reason why he gets a lot of stick and you know, we all know why, but I actually think Chris Wood will be an asset of some degree to Forest this season, because I think the way that they'll have to approach certain games, he will chip in. Like, he's not going to be, you know, Forest Ronaldinho. Like, that's not the player he is, but I think he'll be an asset in certain games. There'll be certain games where just having him as an option to come off the bench, you know, maybe a 1-1 will be having a slightly more difficult match. I think he'll bring something. Some of those options that we, you know, compare the start of last season to this season, I know it's very different circumstances and we were in a bit of a rebuild situation, but just being able to bring on some of those options, albeit I think Forest do need more and some better options as well, to bring some different things to their game. But I actually thought it was nice to see the players that they could bring on to kind of help out in that last 15 minutes, however long it was, with the injury time and such.
Let's talk about Matt Turner. I don't want to talk about it earlier on, just in terms of the melee of talking about all of the drama that did happen. But Matt Turner, I think, for me, very impressive debut. I think he only made that one slight error, which was a delay in the clearance. But that's got to be expected from a keeper who's hardly played any first-team football in the last 12 months. I thought he was brilliant. I thought he was, whatever he had to do save-wise, he did well. Obviously, we talked about the Declan Rice when he tipped onto the post. There was a couple in that first half as well, long ranges that he handled really well. What I liked about Matt Turner was just he was quick off his line. There was a couple of times where there was a couple of through balls where he was out to smother them really quickly. But I thought he was really proactive in terms of when he got the ball, he was quick, he was sharp, he was looking to distribute it. But he was clever enough not to distribute it and play a teammate into to pressure. He calmed things down. He opted for the long punt every now and again. I think you're right. If that was Dean Henderson, I think people would have been a lot more appreciative of that performance. But, I mean, what a weird afternoon that must have been in for Matt Turner, bearing in mind he was on the bench for Arsenal in the Community Shield only 6 days prior.
his picture is still flying outside the Emirates Stadium. So
he's walking around
the Emirates, his profile picture is still there. So yeah, it would have been weird. I think that's the thing that impresses me. Undoubtedly, he would have been thinking his head. He's going, his first game for his new club is against his old club that he literally signed from a few days before. And he no doubt will have been thinking his head, I've got a point to prove here. Like, it's going to be difficult. They know all about me. They know what they're up against. And I think the thing I liked, he performed as if he'd been the goalkeeper at Forest for months. As soon as he got the ball, he was looking to distribute it. He looked up straight away, looking for where those runs were being made, where the movement was on the pitch. I particularly liked that more than anything. And I completely agree. I think if his name's Dean Henderson, I think I'd be looking at Twitter going, thank God we signed Dino back. Brilliant to have him back. Like, he makes such a difference to the team. And I did see some praise for Matt Turner, no doubt about it. But, I think... You know, it goes back to my point last week. I think there's a lot of people still waiting for Dean to sign. But I actually, if he keeps making performances like that, Matt Turner, then it won't be as easy for Dean Henderson to make his way into this Forest side as many people think.
I think maybe that a lot of people were praising Matt Turner. I think maybe the praise wasn't so vocal because we praised Matt Turner there about how he went about his business in terms of he was quick, he was busy, he was looking to get the ball out. I think maybe what some people were expecting is that Matt Turner would be absolutely peppered with shots all for 90 minutes. And let's be right, he wasn't, was he? So no. I think maybe that's why the praise wasn't so magnanimous. But
you
can only judge off what he was able to do.
Which, people will also go, well, if he was that good, he would have kept clean sheet. But I think he'd be very harsh.
I think he was done. He was done by a deflection in an absolute world, let's be honest. So yeah. I think he had a really good debut. I didn't feel nervous with him between the sticks. Do you know what I mean? I mean, that's probably the biggest praise. There's not one moment where I thought, we've got a dodgy one in. We've had plenty of goalkeepers down the years where you did think that. Ian Turner, namesake, all those years ago, he was dreadful. But it was a good debut. I think a really good debut of him. He'll be pleased to get away, come away from the Emirates there with a good debut. Probably put that one behind him and move on. But yeah, I think Forrest has got a good solid person. I think all of the signings, where we've kind of got to at the minute, the volume of signs Forrest made last year, there were obviously a lot of duds within that, and you expect that. Small sample size, only one game, but first impressions, those three signings all look like they're going to contribute well this year. And I think that's pleasing, isn't it? If you're not going to make that many signings, you need the ones you do make to stick. And I think I'm highly optimistic coming into this season that those three will. I mean, let's just wrap up then from an Arsenal point of view. I think, look, the main thing for us is that we didn't go under. And we've talked about that two or three times already, but we didn't go under. And I think it would have been quite easy for us to capitulate there to a 4-5, 6-0. And they didn't. They stuck well to the task. And they nearly got themselves, they got themselves back into it, but, they nearly got themselves at a point which would have been an absolutely staggering result. I think the way I'd summarise that afternoon, Tom, is there's a platform to build on there, isn't there? I think for away games, but also in terms of confidence, opening day of the season, you don't want to get done by 4 or 5. They didn't. They got a platform. And I think now moving forwards, they'll take a lot of confidence, I think, from that.
Yeah, 100%. I think, mentally, they look far less fragile than they did last year, albeit it's one game. And I think they might come into some difficulties in some of the away games coming up in the not too distant future. But, they put in a shift, they put a good shift in, they made a good fist of the game in the end after being 2-0 down from two difficult goals in the way that they were given away. But I think, there is a lot to build on there. I think scoring an away goal and not going down in the way they did. I know it might sound like a little thing, but I think there's, me included, a lot of people expecting us to get an absolute tonking in that first game of the season, which obviously wouldn't have been the nicest start. They now have to go into what is a, which obviously we're going to come on to, is a very important already probably home game of the season, where we know how good Forest home form was last year, and there's probably as a result a bit more pressure on the home games this year as well.
It definitely is. Well, let's talk about that home game at Sheffield United on Friday. It is a big match, isn't it? If you think about the context of those away fixes that Forest have got coming up, they've got to go to United, Chelsea and City all over the next few weeks before you get to the end of September. Sheffield United and Burnley sandwiched between that gives them an opportunity to pick up points and hopefully continue that home form that they had last year. I can't believe that the police are allowing this one to happen on a Friday night, for once. I thought it might move to the Sunday. This one's going to have a bit of an edge to it, isn't it? Because there's no love lost anyway between Forest and Sheffield United. You know, the last meter that we had was quite the battle in terms of the playoff semi-final. Obviously, the penalty win, which we will all remember fondly. Maybe not so much more than Gibbs White, but we will remember that fondly. But I suppose what a great tie that was, really, over two legs. And I know, you know, it's easy to say when you come out the victors, and we've been on the opposite side versus Sheffield United, but it was a great semi-final, because, you know, Forest obviously going 2-0 up in the, or going 2-0 ahead in the first leg, and obviously them getting the late goal. Yeah, the drama of the second leg and the extra time and the save and then the penalties, it was just football-wise, it was a brilliant two-leg affair. There's obviously a little bit of needle as well that happened in the aftermath of the celebrations. That won't be lost in Sheffield, will it? I think there'll be a few people looking forward to coming to the City Ground on Friday, and some of those, probably the manager as well, Paul Heckingbottom, will feel like they've got a bit of a score to settle here. So they will, and a lot of the squad, actually, there's been high turnover of players, some of their star players, but a lot of the makeup of that squad that were there that night will still be in that dressing room on Friday night. And I think a few of them will have probably a point to try and settle, won't they? So it's going to have a little bit of an edge to it.
Yeah, it will have an edge to it. I mean, bloody Paul Heckingbottom and bloody Chip
Butters. Oh, I hate him. I mean, let's get it out there now, Tom. We don't like him, do we? We don't like Sheffield United. We did try and get a Sheffield United pod on tonight, didn't we, to review the game. Probably unsurprisingly, no one came back to us. So, yeah, sod 'em. But we don't like them. They don't really like us. It's going to be a cracker, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, it'll be a good game, because I think both teams will be looking at this as an opportunity to get 3 points on the board early days. I know that might sound weird, maybe, as a Forest fan saying that about Sheffield United as well. But I think, you know, if you're them as a newly promoted side, just like we were last season, you have to look at on paper who you currently think are, you know, some of the teams that will be, you know, in that second half of the table this season. And they will look at Forest for sure at this moment in time as one of those teams. So they'll be looking to come here, especially after losing their first game of the season at home to Crystal Palace, of which, you know, I watched some of the highlights from that game, and they looked like they struggled quite a bit. Palace had a lot of the ball, but still they came away somehow with some positivity from it. But I suppose only conceding one. But you know, there'll be a bite to the game, and I think this one I think they'll go for it at the City Ground.
I'm quite nervous about this one.
Yeah. I mean, I think I mentioned it there in terms of the, you know, the Arsenal game hasn't done Forest any harm, obviously, apart from the fact, obviously, unfortunately, football is football, and Forest have 0 points on the board from one game. But you know, it won't have done the confidence too much harm, and they'll come away with positives from that game. It's now building on that at home, and it's Forest's first home game of the season. Some of those new signings will want to make a good first impression at home, but they can't let the occasion take over them. At the end of the day, it's a job that they've got to do. It's 3 points that they need to get on the board early doors, and we spoke about how the away games that they've got maybe do add to the pressure of the two early home games. I mean, one of them's all the way in September, I think it's one where Forest do have to look to get the 3 points, and they'll be looking at it, like I said, the same way, and we've got to look at it in that same way, that this is 3 points that Forest need to be looking to get.
The fixture list is crap in it this year, let's be honest. The fixture list has not been kind.
Well, the truth of the matter is you have to play the same teams twice, just in different times of the year. So, look, it's, you know, in some respects, it's not been nice to Forest.
It's fine. It's not necessarily so nervous about Sheffield United. I think the difference in this one is that the expectation will change, as you just said. This is one where people look at this, and Forest will probably be expected. I've not checked the betting odds, but Forest will probably be expected to win from a fan's perspective and also from a bookmaker's perspective as well. That changes the dynamic slightly in terms of how they approach that. There wasn't many games last year, even at home, where Forest would have gone in there as I suppose, favourites. So it will be an interesting dynamic. Just on the Sheffield United front, I mean, look, they've had I think you'd have to argue, and I don't think many Sheffield United fans would argue, that they've probably had a really bad summer, because they had all the hype of getting promoted and all the excitement of getting promoted. And let's be honest, Sheffield United did really well last year to get promoted, to follow up that playoff. You see so many teams that lose in the playoff semi-final and then just the year after completely capitulate and don't go up. And Sheffield United held that squad together and obviously came up quite easily in the end alongside Burnley as runners-up. But they've had a dreadful summer in terms of losing their big players. Obviously, Billy Sharp having left, which, Billy Sharp could still do you a job, but he had to go because they couldn't afford to renew his contract. They've lost Ndoye to Marseille, a player that obviously Forest were linked with last summer and maybe speculatively this summer. But then also losing Sander Berg whichever way you want to say it, to Burnley last week is a real shocker for them in terms of losing them to a relegation rival. They've bought players in, but a lot of players that come from abroad that we haven't necessarily heard of. They did make a signing, obviously, on Friday with Hamer coming in from Coventry. He'll obviously make his debut against us on Friday. So they do have players coming in. They have got players in the pipeline coming in this week. But you would say that there's no one coming in from a Sheffield United perspective with proven Premier League quality. You would never write them off, but given the fact they've lost two or three of their best players and are replacing them with, I think Hamer's a very good player, by the way, but replacing them albeit with unproven Premier League talent, you feel like for them, we talked about where we think the predictions are going to go last week, but you feel like they're in for a long haul. And that game against Palace yesterday, we've got a mutual Palace friend who's sitting on here before. He was loving telling me this morning how good Palace were. To be fair, they only had one shot on target, Sheffield United, to Palace's eight. And I think Palace had 70% of the possession. So I think to get away, I think the Palace had 24 shots in total, including obviously off target. But it was pretty much a one-way traffic yesterday. I think the team that comes to the City Ground on Friday might be slightly different, but...
That's if finished having his shots with the Coventry fans that he was having after they won at the weekend. So
did he? I didn't see that. I completely missed that. So, oh well, never mind. So love lost from our perspective, but you do feel fear for them, don't you, a little bit this season in terms of the makeup of their squad?
Yeah, I think the summer's been a real rubbish one. I think we knew going into it that they were going to have a difficult summer. And if anything, it's probably been more difficult in terms of, I think we've all been waiting for the dominoes to fall across the whole market. We've mentioned how difficult it's been for ourselves. We've still signed four players officially because of Chris Wood. But, I think they've been waiting for players to go. And Jai, you mentioned there, and Sander Berger. And, it's been difficult. They've now obviously recently got rid of those two. So I think they're working hard on deals in the background, and they'll be aiming to kind of improve a little bit further before the window shuts. But yeah, I mean, we've given our league predictions. They're a team that I expect to struggle just because of the circumstance that they've got. Albeit, I do think that naturally Sheffield United are always a horrible team to play in my eyes, because they just have always had a bite about them. It doesn't matter.
Oh, I mean, Max Lowe's in OAPs.
Yeah, exactly. Max Lowe's trying to beat up Roy Hodgson on the touchline, the poor fella. So, I mean, they've got a surprise Heffing button, didn't try and give him a shoe in and all whilst he were there.
I just want to touch on that because Roy Hodgson, what a ledge. He was going for it, wasn't he? Roy Hodgson, what is he, 74?
I've got nothing against Max Lowe, obviously. He did us
No, we like Max Lowe. We do like Max Lowe.
But he plays for Sheffield United now, and so he's dead to me.
I just enjoyed Roy Hodgson's reaction to that. It was absolutely brilliant. It was like, good on him, backing himself.
Yeah, fair play to him. But, I mean, they've just always got a bite about him, haven't they? They've always got a fight about him, which is why I think... albeit I have predicted them to be bottom of the table come the end of the season, I do think they will still make it hard for teams to get put. I mean, in certain respects, I almost feel as if as if some of the away games might suit them a little bit more, because I think there'll be an acceptance that they will kind of sit back and defend and fight for their lives in the away games, whereas the home games, the critics might be a little bit tougher on them. So I think the away games might suit them a little bit more against certain teams. So it'll be interesting. That's why I don't think the setup of the team will be too different, actually, on Friday.
You have teed this up a treat. We're getting good at this after 3 years. But, I mean, how do you approach it? You've told me how you're going to approach it. It will be interesting, I think, how Steve Cooper approaches it. I've already seen a lot of people speculate and start to put, you know, how good would it be to have 4-2-3-1 and have Gibbs, White, Johnson, Alanga and a 1 year all in the same team. I think we debated to death in that playoff season whether 3-4-3 versus 4-2-3-1 was the most attacking approach, whatever. I think whichever system Steve Cooper has set himself up now, and you feel like unless things start to go horribly wrong, they're recruiting for a wing back system. He's played wing backs pretty much throughout the pre-season schedule, apart from the game they lost 5-0, where it was a back four, quickly reverted to the wing backs when they went away. So it feels like he's set up for that, and you feel like, you know, at times during games, he'll have the ability, like he did on Saturday, to revert to a back four. But I just get the impression that he's going to start to try and mould the team over the next couple of weeks as the window closes around this wing back system. So even with Sheffield United coming to the City Ground on Friday, I think you've got to treat them with respect. I mean, you're still a Premier, you're still playing a Premier League side. They deserve to be there. You still got to treat them with respect. But yeah, it's probably what you touched upon in the Arsenal section. It'll be, this is the formation, this is the system, but how do we go about it? How do we break them down? How do we go a little bit more on the front foot? And I suppose that front footed nature, even if they play a 3-4-3, might be that they take a centre midfielder out of the equation and play Taiwo. Yeah. If you feel like, you know, a full week of a 1 year, probably near Carte at the back as well, two big players for you, if they're fit and ready to go, they probably come back in for this one and you probably lose a centre midfielder. So Nia Carte for me would probably come in for McKenna. I don't think McKenna did anything wrong yesterday, but I think as soon as Nia Carte's back in, he probably slots into that left side of the three. And then I think Big T will probably come in for Danilo or Mangala. And I think it would probably be Mangala, but I'm not 100% on that one.
Yeah, no, I disagree. I think it'd be Danilo if he was to drop anyone. I think also, like, there's this desire to just throw all your best attacking players on the pitch all at once, which I love the idea of. But the truth of the matter is that what we learned from last season is how important subs can be in this, well, in any division. We learnt it in the Championship as well, but I think in the Premier League, when you can bring on someone who can just run at defenders and you know, leave them for dead late on in the game, especially with all this injury time that we're going to start getting in games. And the Arsenal game is a game
right,
that I thought,
injury, yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. There'll be a few more minutes.
Exactly. I was like, come on, another 10.
Come on, still 5, dickhead.
Oh, well, I thought there was another 45 minutes, but I was still downstairs from that delay. But
I was getting leathered. And you £6.95, so it was.
I was Camden Hells. Yeah. But, like, I completely lost my train of thought now, Chris. I'm thinking about Camden Hells. No, I think, obviously, we learned how important it is to bring on players. And I think that Arsenal game, you're always going to have a little bit less injury time than what we've seen in some of the other games, because I always think Arsenal, you're always probably going to end up in that game having the ball in play more, you know, a bit longer than in certain other games. And obviously they had a lot of the possession, you know, on the pitch a lot of the time, which I know sounds daft, but it's just because of the way that they play. Whereas I can imagine we might end up having quite a bit of injury time in that Forest Sheffield United game, which will please some people to death, given it's a night match and getting home and stuff like that. But I think I could see that quite a lot.
People, given the team. Man of the people, you.
I'm a man of the people. I'd be talent ref, not to bother. But I think I think you could see a bit more injury time. So, having players that you can bring on and make a difference in attack will only be of help to Forest. So I don't think they should all just be thrown on altogether. I think, yeah, one you could... And I also think he wants Alanga, by the way, to, you know, from his interviews, he said he wants him to kind of mould into the team and what we're expecting a little bit more. And even though he's come on and done that blistering run and got an assist in his first game, that says to me that he's still, you know, uncertain about throwing him in for from the start at the moment. And I totally get that. And I don't think we should take just that much away from the cameo appearance he had at Arsenal, albeit it was very good. So yeah, I could see a 1 year coming in potentially. And if he was to come on, I think he would either drop Danilo because I think that he wouldn't want to lose that kind of central midfield too, especially against Sheffield United and how they'll probably approach the game. Or he might even drop Johnson, but you know, some people might say that's a bold move, but he might fancy having the option of Alanga and Johnson off the bench in that second half for the pace that they've got. I mean, if you're Jack Robinson, you'd be cacking your pants if you saw those two come on and running at you. I'm a wordsmith.
Go on then, give us a score prediction. You've sat on the fence there a little bit of your team prediction, but what's your score prediction?
I wish I could sit on the fence again. I'm going to go 3-2 Forest.
Oh my days, I can't take that. I've gone 3-1. I reckon Gibbs White is going to be fancy in this one. Right, let's quickly move on. I'm just conscious of time. I want to talk about transfers. Why won't we talk about transfers 2.5 weeks before the window? I want to talk about Scarpa. We touched on the very top. It looks to be, and it's only speculation, but it looks like Scarpa could be heading to Olympiacos, either on loan or as a permanent. This obviously came out this afternoon. Obviously, we're recording this Sunday. What's your thoughts on that? I'm surprised and not surprised at the same time, if you like, in terms of I feel like Olympiacos was always Scarpa's ultimate destination. Maybe, you know, there and then to Forest. Didn't transpire that way. It's not really worked for him. Steve Cooper doesn't really seem to rate him. Potentially, he's not really giving him much of an exposure. I think if we go back to what we talked about in terms of the Arsenal, in terms of wanting speed and athleticism, he doesn't necessarily fit in that, but I think he's a very good player. I think technically very gifted. But is it just a case of he doesn't fit into the mould of the way that Steve Cooper wants to set this squad up?
Yeah, I think that's it. I think he doesn't help. He's had injuries and he's had personal problems, which affected him for a lot of last season, with a cryptocurrency and, you know, Rubik's Cube making and skateboarding all over the bloody shop. You know, it doesn't help that he's had all that. And then, yeah, I just don't think he fits into the team because people might go, well, what about as an option instead of Morgan Gibbs-White? But he's quite a different player to Morgan Gibbs-White. I think that when you look at the mould of player Morgan Gibbs-White is and Alanga and Johnson, I think he wants more options like that. And I just don't think Scarpa fits in because I don't think he'd want to put him in the midfield too. I think he's looking for more of a number six and ball winning midfielders and possession players than what Scarpa is. I literally just thinking on the top of my head, you know, sometimes wonder as well with the Scarpa deal. Obviously, he was an Olympiacos target as well, and we were interested in Danilo, and you just wonder whether it was utilised a little bit in terms of a bit of a, you know, get Scarpa in and maybe that kind of twisted Danilo's arm and Danilo was always the number one target, or whether it's just transpired the way that it has and they thought they'd send him to Forest. You know, you just don't know what the thinking is, but
Scarpa and Danilo, the modern day Toffolo and O'Brien.
The modern day Aaron Davies and Chris Cohen, I think, is...
It's not a bad shout, mate. It's not a bad shout. It's not worked for him. I wish him all the best, like, but he's just not going to get any game time, and I agree with you. He's not the man.
I still think there's a player there, but I just don't. Sometimes in life, you know, a player comes to your club and they just don't perform for you, but actually they're still a good player. In circumstances, whether that be where the city is or the squad build or, you know, loads of things can have that effect. You know, he could go to Olympiacos and be by far their best player or one of their better players. It's just the way it is. And I also look back again as an example of comparison is Zinchenko in our championship season. I don't think he was necessarily of the Steve Cooper mould either, but I think he was, he was the option that we had. He was, albeit I rated Zinchenko and he did well. Yeah, I just don't think Cooper was always 100% committed.
I don't want to go down this rabbit. I love the man. There's loads of names, other names been linked. I think we've probably run out of time this week. We can follow up next week. So I'm sure by the time we get to next week's episode, there's going to be a whole list of names that have completely changed. So I don't want to dwell too much. But you'd hope to see some action in the next week ahead of Sheffield United?
I'd like to...
You're starting to run out of time a touch now.
Yeah, I mean, the countdown clock is ticking. Vorderman is ready. But I think I'd like to start getting to a point where I see a rumour and I think we're actually after that player. Do you know what I mean? Or like, yeah. Somewhere down the line with a player. That's where I'd like to see us get this week. I have a feeling that so much activity is going to be done late, not just at Forest. I think it's going to start to get a little bit mental because I think everyone's just waiting for other things to happen in order for the dominoes to start to fall. Maybe the Harry Kane transfer starts to do that. Maybe then Spurs start looking to sign players and therefore other clubs.
We don't need that.
We don't need that. But I just think that... I also think you can get some really good deals at the end of the window. It is weird how it all starts to happen then, but I do think agents start scrabbling around for clubs to get their clients. And I think Forest have had examples in the past where they've been linked with players or signed players near the end of the window that actually they wouldn't have got in the weeks beforehand.
Yeah.
So
I agree.
Yeah, I think it's interesting.
Right, let's do our Guess Who. Obviously, everyone that took part last week, thank you for taking part. Obviously, last week's was the wonderful Jeff Thomas, who scored Forest's first goal, or only goal, rather, in Forest opening day defeat at Highbury back in 98.
What a player, Jeff Will Thomas. Hoskins. I knew it wasn't Will Hoskins.
No, we moved away from that. So this week's Guess Who, with quite a solid link between Forest and Sheffield United, this one. So the four clues for this week's Guess Who. He joined Forest from Grimsby in February 2000. Left to join Sheffield United in the summer of 2003, rejoining Forest in 2004. Over his two spells at Forest, he made 186 appearances, scoring 35 goals. He left the club to finish his league career at Chesterfield. Who is that, Reds? Drop us a message on Twitter or email us your answers through. We will obviously post the link as well later in the week. But yeah, who is that Forest and Sheffield United player? Quite an easy one, that one, Tom.
It's like a Masked Singer, isn't it?
This one's quite an easy one. Look, that is the end of our second episode of the season. I just want to say thanks to everyone who listened last week. We had some really, really, really strong numbers last week for the first episode of the season. Loads of interaction as well from a social point of view. So thank you to everyone who got involved. If you are listening to us and you do listen to the pod and you like the pod, please follow us on Spotify and Apple. Leave a review. It helps, obviously, other Forest fans to find us. You can obviously continue to email us, as always, at timeaddedonpod@outlook.com. And please, as well, follow us on socials. Our Twitter X handle is @timeaddedonpod. Great first week, great support. We really appreciate it. So, Tom, I think we're done. Another week. We look forward to being back next week to review, hopefully, 3 points against Sheffield United, maybe 2 or 3 new signings as well. So, mate, have a good one. Everyone who's going down to the City Ground on Friday night, have a good one. Let's hope for 3 points. Come on, you Reds.